morning, good morning, good morning. This is Glenn Coble, and good afternoon, I'm sorry. And we're going to be talking about a progressive life. And we have on the line Dr. Feynman, I assume.
Yes, I just left and you said good morning, and then you realized it was afternoon.
I got to tell you, my executive producer is in deep trouble.
Who's that?
Buddy, my dog.
I think you were going to say that.
He got me up at 4 o'clock to go out and go potty. Then he got me up at 6 o'clock to go out.
Oh, my gosh. That's not normal, though, is it? It's just unusual.
Yeah, that was unusual. And he did his thing, and I wonder. I have no idea where I am while I'm walking up and down my street.
I also wonder if it's safe at 4 in the morning to be out.
For some reason or other, I'm ignorant about safety. I don't even think about that. I used to walk by Cabrini Green in Chicago, and one of my I don't know that you know what Cabrini Green is, but it's it was one of the really bad projects in Chicago.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I think I've heard of it, yeah.
And one of my basketball players who lived there told me, Mr. Coble, you shouldn't walk by Cabrini Green. I said, why not? He said, somebody's going to kill you.
Oh, my gosh.
He said, I'm worried about myself walking by Cabrini Green. Now, he's a 6'8" black gentleman.
Yeah.
And he was worried. So he
very thoughtful on his part, yeah.
It was thoughtful, but it didn't change my... I still walk by there occasionally. I'm just ignorant of that sort of thing. I don't know why I am, but I am.
You're stubborn, right?
No, it's just I'm too lazy to go the other route. I'd rather die than walk an extra block. Right? I don't know.
Yeah. I wanted to say I was listening to the last half hour.
Yeah, well, we were hoping
I want to commend Spears for his strong defense of John Adams. Okay. And I want to make it clear, I've never really been out to criticize John Adams in a full sense. I'm just saying as a president, and I agree, like Grant was, you know, everybody talks about the Civil War, but that's not part of the judgment of him as president. Maybe we should. Same with Eisenhower, that was mentioned. So I would say John Adams was not an outstanding president, and he was defeated for re-election, but it is true that he did recommend Jefferson to write the Declaration.
Was it a good thing, right?
Adams to write it, but Adams said, no, you should. And he did also recommend that Washington become the commander-in-chief, and Washington didn't seem to want to. So I guess he had ability to convince both of them to do it. So he's a great man, John Adams, but he's not a great president. That's all I'm trying to say. And John Quincy Adams wrote a diary his whole life. John Adams only up to 1780. So he did write his early life, but he did not write all the way to the end of his life.
Well, I wrote my early memoirs as well, and I'm not going to recommend anybody read those.
But don't burn it.
Well, my son has it. I wouldn't give it to my daughter because there are too many dirty parts in it.
I wanted to mention that, that the idea that Jefferson supposedly burned his letters, I'm not aware of. Maybe it's true, but there's a lot of Adams Jefferson letters in the early years and then in the years after 1812. I don't think those letters were burned. Maybe Jefferson burned other things, but I'm not aware of that. I'm not an expert in everything everybody's ever done in every way, but I'm a little startled by that statement because I don't think that's true.
I think Scott was kind of gave himself an out. He kind of said he wasn't sure of that. So, you know, he thought that.
Very productive correspondence that's been published about around the years around the American Revolution, but also the last 12, 13 years when they were writing a lot to each other. And the thing is, if they burned it, they wouldn't have the letters that were burned because there were no ways to make copies back then.
Yeah, right. There wouldn't be. Right.
Yeah.
Now,
anyway, I wanted to say, I think he is a strong defender, and if John Adams was alive today and wanted to run for president, Scott could be his campaign manager. He's a great defender, and I have no problem, but I also want to say John Adams is also a very vain person. Obnoxious and vain.
That's what I read to him out of my research, that he was kind of a snoot. But now, which would you say was worse? Adams, who was a snoot and had media thrown into jail through the Sedition Act?
And not only that, a congressman, a Democrat, the opposition party, not he personally, but the law ended up putting Matthew Lyon, last week, L-Y-O-N from Vermont, a Democratic Republican in the House, into prison. He ran for re-election, you know, and came back to the Congress. But the idea of having a congressman put on trial, it's not that he did it, but the law allowed it, and that was wrong.
Okay, now...
Or it was civil liberties violation. It was absolutely wrong.
Right, but it wasn't something that Adams did himself.
Well, but, well, of course, under the law, you know, which, by the way, I've looked into it, he thought about not signing it, and his wife pushed him to sign it, which doesn't help Abigail Adams. It's the kind of things you learn as you go over time, things that you don't realize, and then little tidbits come up and say, gosh, they're not as good as I thought they were.
Scott asked a very good question. Which is worse? And I hate to do this. Which is worse, this or that? But this is kind of an interesting question. Which is worse, Adams, who threw media people and a congressman had them thrown into jail for what
not
they
directly,
were saying,
indirectly through the law, yes,
or President Washington and President.
Jefferson,
thank you. Who owned slaves? Which was worse, civil liberties problem?
That's a hard thing to compare. Obviously, I would say anybody owning slaves is a disgrace, and anybody who's promoted racism. And I want to bring up Woodrow Wilson's reputation has really collapsed because of his racism. That was, I know it was so-called normal for the time, but he was an educated man with a PhD. He had been a president of Princeton University. We could have expected more from him, and he actually... indeed promoted segregation formally in D.C. by executive order. Before that, there was sort of like segregation in the nation's capital, but he made it official, and he threw out W.E.B. Du Bois and others, white and black, who protested it and said, get out of my house, my house. Mm-hmm. The White House is not, quote, my house. It's our house.
Right.
So, and also, he did mess up pretty much in the whole idea of trying to get a peace treaty that was not going to work and was disastrous, you know, and he, of course, had a stroke by that time, so I'm not sure he should even have been in office toward the end. This is a man who also promoted putting people in prison like Eugene Debs, not him personally, I'm not saying he did it, but the law allowed Eugene Debs, the Socialist Party leader, to be put in prison, and he ran for president while in prison in 1920. So Wilson used to be in the top 10. He has slipped dramatically. He really has. He's still in the top third, you know, but he's slipping, just like Andrew Jackson is. And maybe it's wrong. We're judging them by different standards, but that's what scholars do over time. They judge people in comparison to each other. So people go up and down in the ratings of presidents.
Well, then not only are we judging them by different standards, but there were different standards of what was correct in life back then.
Yes.
Not that slavery is good or even correct or even slightly okay, but back then there were an awful lot of people who owned slaves. Now, one of our callers did say, and I agreed with him, actually I said it before our caller said it, apparently 12, the first 12 presidents, only two of them did not own slaves, and both of them's last name was Adams.
Well, actually, there was 9 of the first 12 owned slaves.
Is that right?
Two Adamses and Martin Van Buren did not own slaves.
Oh, okay. Well,
but then we also had Andrew Johnson, of all people, who came later, who owned slaves. So that's the 10th one, yeah. But 9 of the first 12, yes, until 1850, when Zachary Taylor died, then the slave presidents, except for Andrew Johnson, and actually even Grant, through his wife, had one slave, but it was his wife's slave, or had been. So it depends if you want to say Grant, so you can even include him, her, you know, him in that.
Okay.
But, yeah, but 9 of the first 12, they were all Southerners, that's why. The only Northerners were New York, right. Van Buren, and Massachusetts, the two Adamses.
And also, one of my callers, the thing that I mentioned, and then my caller mentioned, is that did the people who owned slaves, the people that did not own slaves, they may not have needed slaves because they were from the North and didn't have plantations or something like
that? Well, certainly the ones who were in the North did not, although there were some Northerners who had slaves, but certainly the plantation economy is what really promoted slavery.
Yeah.
An excuse, I would say, but they would say as a necessary evil.
Well, yeah, of course it's an excuse.
Yeah.
We do that all along. Throughout our entire lives, we use excuses, and that was nothing more than an excuse because we've gotten along pretty well without slaves since.
The point is that, you know, we all were brought up and we didn't think much about, oh, they had slaves. We mentioned it, but we never understood what slavery meant. It wasn't just they worked people hard and didn't pay them. It was also the abuse, the murders that went on, the division of families selling slave children. I think I mentioned to you about James K. Polk last week or the week before, when during the Mexican War was buying and selling slave children. While he was in the war effort. That just shocked me. He was a slave owner, but the thought in the middle of the war effort and you're staying up all hours of the night, you're finding time to make sure you buy and sell children, separating them from their families, that really makes me sick. It really does.
Me too.
Not that I was ever a big fan of Polk. The only thing about Polk, I don't want to get back to Southwest. And the Pacific Northwest, which we got under him. But I'm just saying, you know, everything is always good and bad things. That's why it's a constant thing to rank presidents and re-rank them over time, because there's always different ways of looking at things.
And none of us lived in the time of our founding fathers, so we really can't judge them honestly, because we really don't know what was going on around them, except if you watch the Broadway show about them, then you know.
Well, that's an exaggeration.
That's all I know about those guys.
Anyway, I do commend Scott for indeed being a great John Adams admirer, and for, I would say, if he could go back in time, he should probably work for him.
I don't think he liked him that much. I think he was just,
I'm joking a bit.
He was trying to be devil's advocate, right?
Yes. And as far as the greatest president, I still say Lincoln, easily.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And I would say FDR next and Washington third. They're top three. They're always the top three. The order changes, but those are the top three. But I would put a Lincoln, FDR, Washington. Nobody comes close.
And Scott raised an interesting point in the show. Why Lincoln?
The Civil War. That's the most important moment of our history.
But now there were, he made some bad decisions, and he but he made an awful lot of them, and he was brave enough to make the decision.
Yeah, I would say he made fewer bad decisions, and that's the thing. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has negatives. But with Lincoln, the negatives are very few, and the numbers increase as you go down the list, all the way down to Donald Trump.
Do you think he had a very high IQ, or do you think, why do you think Lincoln was so good?
Well, we don't know for sure, but he certainly knew how to write. He knew how to speak. Yeah. I think he, in comparative terms, had a high IQ.
He
himself
was
a very
motivated
person, a very talented person, but it's hard to compare IQs of people back then.
Yeah.
It's much easier with somebody like Jimmy Carter, who is said to have the highest modern IQ of any president. It's hard to compare the early ones, and I still can't get over it. His wife just turned 94 on August 18th, and now in October 1, he's going to be 97. God bless him.
Yeah.
And, he's going to be rated high. He's not going to be rated great. But people are pointing out there are a lot of things people forget about him because they're all, somehow excited about Reagan. Reagan is so much of a fandom that everybody makes out, oh, Carter was so bad, that's what led to Reagan. It was really a lot of bad luck with Carter because of the Iran hostage seizure, but nobody died, although they were hostages for 444 days. The Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, which actually was good because it led to the town for the Soviet Union a decade later, so in that sense it was good. And the Mariel boat lift, which is similar to what's going on at the border now, not the same, but the Cuban boat lift in 1980, how it's hard to stop migrants from coming in. But I think as time goes by and once he's gone, Carter will rank not in the top 10, but he will go up for the mid-20s where he is.
Do you think there might have been some dirty politics being played at the end of Carter's tenure?
Are you talking about as far as holding the hostages?
Yeah.
Well, of course, Republicans deny it, but there's a lot of evidence that indeed they had tell them to hold it to inauguration day.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know, but I don't think we have enough documentation yet. But also in 68, Nixon spoke to South Vietnam, don't negotiate with North Vietnam, and they didn't, and that hurt Humphrey. It seems clear there's always dirty tricks played. And I'm not saying Democrats never do it, but Republicans are better at it, in quotes. They really are better at it.
Okay. I gotcha. Now, I don't know if you're listening to our newscast, but we're having a little bit of political problem here in town.
I heard the names. What's this about?
Well, our auditor is, the state auditors have come in and said our auditor needs to be a little more careful with his books because we haven't had an audit of our books for a year and a half.
Oh my God!
And without the audit, we won't be able to qualify for $2.5 million worth of grants that we always apply for.
Is he elected?
Yes, he's elected. Yeah,
and he's a Republican, I gather.
Yeah. And
not that Democrats are all great. Look at Cuomo. I'm just saying they really need. I think Ohio has gone a little, in my mind, too far to the right. And I hope they elect Tim Ryan the next senator next year.
And now I've met Tim two or three times. We've talked.
And you're not impressed with him, you said.
I was not impressed with him, but I'll tell you what.
I've seen him on C-SPAN though, or on the news in Kyle's. He says some really good stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
In watching him lately, I think he's honing himself.
Yes.
To be much better.
Yeah, I must say, people that don't always impress, sometimes they have to grow and evolve. And I'm going to mention someone who I have a friend who thought years ago this woman was, oh, she's terrible. She knows how to speak. And now he's so impressed with her. Speaking of Nancy Pelosi.
I knew that's who you were going
to
say.
She tended to sort of like stubble and, you know, maybe even stutter. And I don't know what it was, even when she was first speaker in 07, 08, 09, 10. But boy, she's dynamite and she's 81. The woman's amazing now.
I'm going to step into that same closet with your friend. Your friend who didn't trust her or initially, but now likes her.
Oh, I see, yeah.
I kind of was that way, but you know what it was? A lot of my Republican friends were telling me what an evil, rotten woman she was.
And which is a woman and she has a mouth.
And I was kind of going along with that BS, and then I started watching her and paying attention. And this last thing, where she has now gotten...
unity around the Democrats, around the infrastructure, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's amazing.
Marvelous with that, yeah.
And she's 81.
Yeah.
She certainly is not demented.
Well, now, 81 is the 51 of 20
years. I know, people have this tendency to use ageism, and sometimes it's correct. Some people
sure
not fit at that age, but I think women are usually better than men at that age, really.
I don't think we would have been better off with Reagan as president when he was 81.
No, well, he definitely had problems.
Yeah. He had a problem.
And I have to say, as I wrote this week, that this whole Afghanistan issue makes me think that probably Joe Biden will not run in 2024, and maybe should not run, because he'll be 82, and although, you know, it seems like it might work out better than we thought, but I just have a feeling that when you run at age 78, you should not expect to be there to 86. So I'm thinking there's a good chance that he won't announce it for 2 years, that he will not run again, and that he should stand aside and leave it to the Democrats to fight it out, with Harris still vice president, having somewhat of an edge, but everybody can compete. That's the best way to go, I think.
I was amazed that she, having grown up in the Vietnam era and being a Vietnam era vet, I was amazed that one of her first trips was to Hanoi.
You're talking about Harris.
Yeah, Harris.
Yes.
Vice President. And I was proud, quite frankly, that we were able to get to that point. And I was proud
that
she went.
Well, we did in 1995 is under Clinton is when we started diplomatic relations.
Right,
years after the war. And John Kerry and John McCain went back to Vietnam at the time.
Yeah, I knew that we had gotten to there, but I just loved the fact that our non-white female vice president went to Hanoi. It just made me feel good.
Yes, and I'm also proud that now we have a woman governor, Kathy Hochul, who is the leader of the largest government as far as people involved, over 20 million. We've never had a woman governor of a state as large as New York, because California's never had it, and neither has Florida or Texas. They're the only ones with larger populations.
Huh.
So, I mean, she, in that sense, except for being a vice president or speaker of the House, second and third in line, or first and second in line to be president, which is what it is in the case of Harris and Pelosi.
Yeah.
So they're really close. But other than that, to be a governor, not even a senator, even if you're a senator from New York, like Hillary Clinton was, and you know, and all that, that's not the same as being governor. We're executive. So I was very impressed this morning on Morning Joe when I saw her. And I think, you know, I don't know what will happen long term, but it's quite a step that we have 9 governors now who are female.
Yeah. I think it's a great step. Matter of fact, when for years I've said that I think women will be better politicians than men, because I think women are less driven by their testosterone.
Absolutely, less corruptible in that sense or even otherwise, yes.
All right, well, now that I'm in trouble with all my male listeners.
Well, I just think it's true.
Yeah, I do too.
Women are half the population. There should be more, and there's quite a few number now in the House and Senate, you know, quite a bit, but not equal. I'm not saying we'll ever be exactly equal with numbers, but I am very happy to see Pelosi look good and Hochul to look good. And at the same time, we have Kristi Noem of South Dakota.
Yeah.
Clearly, his plans are up for president.
Exactly.
Great to look at, but she is scary as hell in her lack of concern about her own constituents.
Marjorie Taylor Greene would be
Marjorie
wonderful.
Taylor Greene, and also Lauren Boebert, and also Kim Reynolds, the governor of Iowa, and even Nikki Haley, who once I thought had real potential.
Yeah, I did too.
She had it, but boy, is she disappointed a lot of people.
She's
you know?
Become a real Trumpite.
But now she's backing away a little bit. You know, she's so, she has no principle. Yeah. She's really a disgrace. She has become. She wasn't, but I think she has. And I also want to give credit to, I guess, the biggest state as far as a women governor until New York would be, of course, Michigan with Gretchen Whitmer, I guess. Would
she
be
seems to be a very
state. Gretchen
Whitmer
is a real hero in so many ways, you know.
And not afraid of being hijacked and... You
and
know,
threatened with their life and all that,
No,
she's tough.
I'm sure she was afraid, but she did it.
At the same time, we're having so many people dying here in Florida and in Texas or getting sick. I started my teaching, and one-third of my students will not wear masks. I wear a mask all the way up, but they will not do it because it's not a requirement, because the state will not allow it. And but I wrote them saying, if you want to come and see me in the office, you don't wear a mask, you cannot come in. And I basically, you know, sent them a, you know, an announcement saying that you should reconsider not wearing a mask, and for no other reason, you know, your professor's a senior citizen, he's vaccinated, but you should have consideration for him and wear a mask. We'll see what happens tomorrow, the second class.
Well, I went out and bought KN95 masks, and I wear a mask now again. Anytime
so
I go into
a... like when I go shopping, food shopping, yes.
Yeah, and I feel good about that, and I am doing it. You know, the KN95 mask was a little bit more difficult to breathe through than those really thin, flimsy paper masks that I was wearing. But you get used to it, and it's not so bad. Hey,
By the way, when I started my class yesterday, of course, new students, even though it was disturbed, some of them, I had masks. They would not accept it. Some of them, about two-thirds did. I just happened to mention I'm starting my 50th year as a professor, and they all cheered and applauded.
Oh, very good.
I don't know these people, but it was very nice, you know?
That is very nice. Your 15th year?
50th.
That's what
not 50 years of Florida Atlantic, but I started in 72, so it's the 50th year I've started now.
I thought my ears had heard that wrong, because I was pretty sure you
I wouldn't be saying 15th if it was, because that's not a big deal.
All right, let's talk about the Afghanistan withdrawal. What do you?
It's about, 90,000 of now out? That's impressive. Of course, it will never have enough because there will always be people left behind.
There will always
but I am glad that it seems to have done very well, but we have to wonder how it's going to end when the last flight goes out and there's no protection.
Yeah.
There'll be attacks. I'm worried. But
I think they'll be...
Get it up, Biden, and I'm very happy.
My guess is that when the last flight leaves, it will be a flight off the airport with lots of helicopters around following it.
They could all be attacked by terrorists.
And they could be attacked, but I don't think... The terrorists don't want to get blown up. And
I would think that would be the case. I'm not saying they wouldn't later on, but I would think that the Taliban are not dumb because... If they don't get economic help overseas, they're not going to survive. They're going to have total chaos themselves, you know.
I think they're
it's a horrible situation, but it was put in by Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld. More Cheney, Rumsfeld. I think Bush was didn't understand everything. He let Cheney and Rumsfeld affect him.
I think that we've done a decent job of getting out. Now,
at this point.
Initially, all the... Hell broke loose, and even my Democratic friends that I listen to on you know, on different stations were saying, oh, he's done a horrible job of doing this and that. And I think they're finding out that there were decisions that were made behind the scenes that they knew nothing about, that he was taking care of business, and now they're starting to say, well, maybe this isn't such a bad deal after all, you know?
Yes, there is concern, though, that nobody in the inner circle seems to have contradicted him, meaning the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State. We don't know what Harris said. So it is true that no matter who the president is, someone has to be there, like Biden was for Obama, to say we should get out of Afghanistan. Obama decided not to. But you need to hear, you know, some negative comments to think things through. So there is concern that he may have a group of yes men and women. And I hope that's not true, because that's not good.
I can't imagine his vice president is a yes woman. I just can't imagine it. I heard her in a lot of different situations where she was, when she was interviewing people for Supreme Court, she was not afraid to ask the tough questions.
So she would not be a yes person, you think, is what
no,
you're saying?
No, I don't think she is a yes person.
No, I don't think so, but we haven't really heard from her, you know, I guess because she's not trying to get attention, you know?
Right, and yeah. That's different than some of our past vice presidents.
Yeah, Mike Pence, oh my God, he's just...
Well, I was thinking of Cheney. Cheney was pretty much, he liked the limelight. He liked being... supposedly
well,
the boss.
Pence doesn't like the limelight, but he has no guts, no courage to speak up, apparently, at all, you know. Yeah. No, but Cheney. And, you know, again, his daughter is right on the committee, on January 6th committee, and now they're going to get the phone records of people like Jim Jordan. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait, because that's going to show their involvement, and they should be kicked out of the Congress, people like him, and be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. They should not be able to get away with it. We'll have to see what happens. But always, this is going to be hardball on this committee. We're going to have fireworks, you know, there's no question, you know.
2 weeks ago, I had Jeffrey Seitz on, who is going to be, well, so far, he's the only Democrat that's going to run against Jim Jordan.
Such a hard, you know, because of the gerrymandering.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going
to bring him back more than once, because I've offered Jim Jordan, he can come in anytime he wants to respond to it, but I'm going to ask Mr. Seitz what he plans to do.
What's his name, Jeffrey Seitz?
Yes, Jeffrey Seitz.
C-I-T-Z?
S-I-T-E-S.
Oh, okay.
Seitz.
To look him up.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Seitz. You have to look who he is, yeah.
And he's a plain kind of guy. I mean, he's not a Harvard grad like all the people that seem to be out in Washington, D.C., but he is an intelligent person, and he seems to care about the people in this district, and we're going to see what's going to happen.
Mm.
So.
Oh, I see a picture of him now, yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna interview
him.
Is
he very liberal on views or more moderate?
I would say he's a moderate.
Moderate would be better, right?
Yeah, I'd say he's a moderate.
Yeah, so. Unfortunately, because, I don't know, it seems like Ohio, which used to follow presidential elections and decided now they're way over to the right, it seems, anyway.
It seems to be that.
I'm hoping that's not true with the seat of, with the Senate seat coming up.
What do you think about voter suppression, the laws that they're trying to get through on that? Do you think it's going to get through?
In Texas, I think it might, but I'm still hopeful that maybe we'll get a Voting Rights Act. And there's going to be a March for Voting Rights this Saturday, the 28th,
right.
Similar to the one in 1963, the March on Washington.
Now, I think they're going to have marches throughout the United States, aren't they?
I believe so, but I think the key one will be in D.C.
Right.
And so it reminds us of what we thought was settled 58 years ago. It's just disgusting. We have to keep on coming back to the same situation, and the Supreme Court takes a lot of the blame because they negated a lot of the Voting Rights Act. I think that was just one of the worst things ever done in the court's history.
Yeah, of gutting it, yeah.
Yes, and it's because the court was picked by people who did not win the popular vote. I want to remind people of that, you know, Trump did not win the popular vote, but he made three appointments. Bush did not win the first time the popular vote. Now, both of his appointments were in the second term when he had won the popular vote. But still, he wouldn't have been in at all in the beginning. So, therefore, five of the six right-wingers on the court, all but Thomas, ends up being picked by people who had lost the popular vote, which is a disgrace.
Now, who was Thomas picked by?
By H.W. Bush. Brightest moments.
Okay. Thomas. I'm going to leave that alone.
No, 1991. And he's actually, he and Alito, picked by the second Bush, I think, are the two worst. I think the three Trump appointees at times surprise us so far.
Yes, they have so far.
I'm still not thrilled by them, but they surprise. And Roberts, he's on and off. You know, I'm not thrilled by Roberts, but he's the most moderate of all of those six, I guess, but very unpredictable.
Yeah. Well, as long as they are serious and honest about their job, I'll give them a little bit of leeway. So.
Yeah, but I am concerned about what's coming up in some of these cases that are coming up in the fall.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about your COVID vaccine approval stuff. Down
well, I'm very happy about the Pfizer. Now I have a Moderna. What did you get?
I got Pfizer.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Moderna has not yet been approved, but I think I told you that I was getting my booster shot.
Yeah.
Last week, because I was going to start teaching and I had the right amount of time, so I got the third shot. And on Thursday, after having I got it on Thursday, yeah. And I had a reaction where I was weary and had to sleep a lot and had a pain in my arm like the second shot. Mm-hmm. But overnight it was fine, and I'm glad I did, because now I see, you know, that there are a lot of students on campus that seem to not think it's something they need to do. So, and they can't mandate it. To wear masks. So, but I did write them, telling them, and not just for me, the department said, political science said, you cannot come to the office without a mask. So maybe in class they don't have to wear it, but they can't come into the office without a mask.
Well,
so I let them know that.
I also told
them, be considerate and consider your professors a senior citizen. You know, so maybe tomorrow they'll change, I hope.
Now, you should have your university contact our university. Ohio State has just declared they have to be masked, or they have to have their first shot by the 15th of October, or they're not allowed in school.
And not to be online only. Why salute that? And I say, yeah. I was online for a year and a half. I wish I could go right back to being online, you know. Mm-hmm. I could easily do that, and it may come to that if we have a lot of cases developing. So, but I hope by having three shots that I am self-protected. It's only 80 minutes in front of them. It's not a lot of time.
Yeah.
And about two-thirds of them do have masks. And then an hour in the office, and often people don't come to the office, but that's it. So I don't think I'm in great danger, but it's just not fair to a lot of the other people who are faculty or staff, and a lot of them probably are on the older side, not all. And, you know, but again, we'll have to see what happens, but I think it's because the Ohio governor has a different attitude, which is far better.
He does, yes.
Our governor here, I consider, is committing crimes, really, in what he's doing.
Now, why do you think...
Promoting Regeneron rather than promoting masks and all that, you know. He's making money on it through his wife, I've heard, you know.
Why do you think, and do you think, he really thinks he's going to have a serious chance at being president of the United States?
Well,
why is he doing this?
He is a mini-Trump, so if Trump doesn't run, and Trump likes him, that he might have an edge to be the nominee. I cannot imagine a country that would elect him to the White House with his lack of concern for human life, which is what I say. Anybody who doesn't wear masks and get vaccinated is harming people they know, his family and others, and those they don't know. And that should matter. You don't have to know everybody to care about human life.
You shouldn't.
And,
yes.
You know, to be in office that way, that's wrong. I'm sorry. So, it's inconvenient. Tough. Life is inconvenient. You stop acting like an adolescent, act like an adult, is what I would say.
What do you think about the Arizona cyber ninja thing going on? Now, they were going to stop, supposedly the guy who's in charge got COVID, and then another guy...
Very appropriate, by the way.
I'm sorry?
I
didn't hear what you said there.
I said very appropriate.
Oh, okay. And his right-hand person also got COVID, and that was the first that anybody knew he had a right-hand person. And now apparently there are six or seven of the people that are involved said they have COVID.
I didn't know that, but I think that's karma, K-A-R-M-A, in action.
Okay. and now I understand that Pennsylvania is the next target to do a cyber ninja.
I think COVID-19 will visit those involved in it.
There'll
be divine intervention, is what I'm saying, at least to get sick.
It was, since I'm an atheist, I don't believe in divine intervention.
Joke, I'm just saying, you know. I think when people show evil that they don't care about anybody but themselves, I think, if not in this life, in the next life, they get repaid. I really do.
Well, I think they...
What goes around comes around, as they say.
I think they get more hated. I don't know if they get repaid.
We will not know because we're not in the next life.
I'm not going to be around.
If there is a next life, yeah.
I'm looking forward to becoming cosmic dust with the
Well, there are those, of course, if you're Hindu, you think you come back in another life, maybe as an insect or maybe as a roach or something, or maybe a dog, or who knows?
I hope I don't.
How do you know you're a dog in the earlier life wasn't a human being?
I would much rather be cosmic dust than a cockroach. Oh, well. All right, so what do you think about the cyber ninjas going to Pennsylvania? How can they keep that going? Who's paying for all this stuff?
I don't know, but to me, it's not going to change anything in any case. But interesting that Trump had that rally in Alabama, the worst state on this whole pandemic, and they booed him when he suggested they should get vaccinated like he had been. And now he's backing off. He'll never say it again. And that Mo Brooks, who is really a traitor, who is from Alabama, who was at that rally, got booed also because I think he's been vaccinated. But he's still, of course, saying the election was stolen. So we have people who I seriously think are candidates to go to a mental institution because they're out of their mind, these people who believe everything, and yet they're willing to go ahead and take some kind of medication that horses or cows use.
Yes, what's going on with that? Yeah, it's some sort of medicine to help digestion or something like that.
I don't know, but I'm just saying, I think cows and horses are smarter than those people.
Yeah, they're going to have a song come out, you know. I love that song where Pepto-Bismol in the end of the guy sings, and diarrhea. And they're going to have a song like that for this COVID medicine.
Yeah. Or they could say that they take that medication from the horse, they are horses, and then ASS.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine that people will go to TSC and pick up their medicine for COVID. That's just hard to believe that.
There's a lot of people, I don't know what gets them, these parents that are protesting in Palm Beach County that their kids have to wear a mask like it's torture. Come on, give me a break, you know? Yeah. I think those parents maybe should have their kids taken away from them. They're child abuse by not protecting their kids when so many people are getting sick. Don't they care about them? I just don't understand people like that.
I don't either. I really struggle. I want my grandchildren all to take, and I think all of my grandchildren that were eligible, and I have one that's under 12, but all of the other ones have taken their COVID shots.
And was the youngest one also, you think? Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Well, the youngest one also when
he gets, he's only 10, so he's got.
Okay, but I'm saying his parents would agree to it.
They finally have.
Oh, they were resistant too. Really?
My son-in-law is somewhat resistant. He hasn't had his shot yet.
God!
And I don't know.
That endangers something happens to him. Then suddenly he got troubles in the family.
Yeah.
I heard about this woman somewhere, I don't know where it was, who had the vaccination. Her son's 42 and 35, I think, refused to have it, and they both died within 12 hours of each other.
Oh, my. Well, now they're...
Now she can't even keep the rent to apartment they have. She can't afford it, so she'll probably be homeless.
Well, now there are so many so many things you're watching on TV now where they're interviewing people who refuse to take the shots and now have really bad COVID.
And they're talking through their ventilator,
Do you think that... I'm torn on that one. I'm not sure that that's a good idea.
Do what?
To do that. To show people in that situation.
Well, as long as they're willing. I mean, obviously those victims are willing to. You're not being forced to.
I suppose.
I think it's important that people get the message. And a lot of people have very thick skulls, and they don't seem to care about their own health, and they don't seem to care about anybody else. And that's the worst thing, even more than yourself. Think about others. We're not in a vacuum. We're around with other people, whether we know them or not, and we should be considerate of everyone around us. That's a part of basic common decency.
Well, as a matter of fact, when the mask thing started coming out, it was more considered that it was to protect other people from you and from the droplets that come out of your speech. Now it's pretty much understood that it helps both sides of the mask.
Yes, well, I've advocated that every business, because you can't make them, but every business should refuse to let anybody in who doesn't wear a mask can't prove of the vaccination. But really, it should be you can't go to any gym, any restaurant, any supermarket unless you wear a mask, at least if you've been not vaccinated. And I think if they all did that, people would have to adjust, so they'd have to be living in nature, is what I say. They would not be able to get service.
Well, we had a situation, grocery store that I go to, they quit wearing masks for a couple of weeks. But I noticed last week when I went to my grocery store, they had masks back on, and I had a mask on. And I think I saw one other person in the grocery that had a mask, but most of the people were wandering about without. But, you know, we're a Republican state. We know our rights.
But if the store decided, I guess they don't want to do it, that they're going to mandate it, then I think they should. But what are you going to do? All I know is a lot more people are dying because of their stupidity and their ignorance, and
now,
that's terrible.
Is it true, has President Biden now required that
the military
have the shots?
Yes, and the military always had to take all shots years ago. You don't get choice.
I took 15 shots in basic training within about 10 minutes.
Yes, and you don't get a choice. This is part of the responsibility of being a citizen.
That's
you
right.
Do what you have to do, not what you want to do.
We need you alive. We don't need you dead.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, well, we're down to a minute and a half.
Yeah, I want to talk about Larry Elder, who seems to be the leading alternative to the governor of California in this recall election coming up for governor, you know, against Gavin Newsom. He is a horror. I wrote about him yesterday and the day before, so if you get a chance, look at it on The Progressive Professor.
Now, that's spelled H-O-R-R-O-R, right? Horror.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Larry Elder, who happens to be African-American, is a right-wing talk show host.
Okay.
He's a little like, I guess, like Rush Limbaugh, but not even as dynamic as Rush Limbaugh. But you just look up the things he stood for. He's against women's rights. He's against gay rights. He's against abortion. He wants to get rid of the Internal Revenue Service, get rid of the minimum wage, just as a few points I'm making. But it's unbelievable. But if he cannot get 50% plus one in the vote, meaning the Governor Newsom, then the one who gets the one who's second, who might be only 10%, Larry Elder, they think is head in polls, would end up as the governor, and he's a Republican who'd be able to replace Dianne Feinstein if she resigned, because she definitely has dementia. It's clear, and then we'd have a Republican Senate. Because he'd be a Republican governor picking a senator of his party.
Well,
it's really scary.
We're going to have to keep our fingers crossed, and we only got 10 seconds, so
okay,
we better get
so
the heck out of here.
Until next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place for